Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Larco Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. To win an impossible war, Captain Cal Charis must awaken an ancient weapon and a despised traitor general. Captain Cal Charis of the Hexarchate is disgraced for using unconventional methods in a battle against heretics. Cal Command gives her the opportunity to redeem herself by retaking the Fortress of Scattered Needles, a star fortress that has recently been captured by heretics. Charis's career isn't the only thing at stake. If the fortress falls, the Hexarchate itself might be next. Charis's best hope is to ally with the undead tactician Xuoz Zhidao. The good news is that Zhidao has never lost a battle, and he may be the only one who can figure out how to successfully besiege the fortress. The bad news is that Zhidao went mad in his first life and massacred two armies, one of them his own. As the siege wears on, Charis must decide how far she can trust Zhidao, because she might be his next victim. Today's Reader's Advisory is Nine Fox Gamut by Yoon-Ha Lee. Nine Fox Gamut is a military space opera, the first in a series that explores the ideas of war, colonization, gender, and personhood. The characters are flawed, complex, and develop over the course of the series. Readers may also enjoy Ancillary Justice by Anne Leckie. On a remote, icy planet, the soldier known as Breck is drawing closer to completing her quest. Once, she was the Justice of Terren, a colossal starship with an artificial intelligence linking thousands of soldiers in the service of the Raj, the empire that conquered the galaxy. Now, an act of treachery has ripped it all away, leaving her with one fragile human body, unanswered questions, and a burning desire for vengeance. Or, The Traitor Barrow Cormorant by Seth Dickinson. Tomorrow, on the beach, Barrow Cormorant will look up from the sand of her home and see red sails on the horizon. The Empire of Masks is coming, armed with coin and ink, doctrine and compass, soap and lies. They'll conquer Beru's island, rewrite her culture, criminalize her customs, and dispose of one of her fathers. But Beru is patient. She'll swallow her hate, prove her talent, and join the masquerade. She will learn the secrets of empire. She'll be exactly what they need. And she'll claw her way high enough up the rungs of power to set her people free. In a final test of her loyalty, the masquerade will send Beru to bring order to distant Ardwin, a snake pit of rebels, informants, and seditious dukes. Ardwin kills everyone who tries to rule it. To survive, Beru will need to untangle this land's intricate web of treachery and conceal her attraction to the dangerously fascinating Duchess Tian Hu. But Beru is a savant in the games of power, as ruthless in her tactics as she is fixated on her goals. In the calculus of her schemes, all ledgers must be balanced, and the price of liberation paid in full. Or, The First Sister by Lyndon A. Lewis. First Sister has no name and no voice. As a priestess of the Sisterhood, she travels the stars alongside the soldiers of Earth and Mars, the same ones who own the rights to her body and soul. When her former captain abandons her, First Sister's hopes for freedom are dashed when she is forced to stay on her ship with no friends, no power, and a new captain, Saito Ren, whom she knows nothing about. She is commanded to spy on Captain Ren by the Sisterhood, but soon discovers that working for the war effort is so much harder to do when you're falling in love. Leto Val Lucius climbed his way out of the slums to become an elite soldier of Venus, but was defeated in combat by none other than Saito Ren, resulting in the disappearance of his partner Hiro. When Leto learns that Hiro is both alive and a traitor to the cause, he now has a shot at redemption. Track down and kill his former partner. But when he discovers recordings that Hiro secretly made, Leto's own allegiances are put to the test. Ultimately, he must decide between following orders and following his heart. Bonus segment. My personal favorite Goodreads list Nine Fox Gambit is on is space operas about rebelling against imperial powers that involve body snatching and are gay. Happy reading, everyone! This month's library tidbit is on technology anxiety. You may have noticed that we do a lot of programs at the library geared toward learning a new device, gadget, database, or software. The reason we do this is to provide a relaxed, small group environment with a knowledgeable staff member who is able to give some closer attention and answer questions as they come up. We think this is important because many people today have technology anxiety. There are actually two different types of technology anxiety. There is the anxiety that is the effect of both what we are seeing on our screens combined with the need to constantly be checking our screens, and there is the anxiety someone feels when they attempt to use technology they are unfamiliar with. Today's tidbit is on the second type of technology anxiety. We may discuss how technology can add anxiety and stress to our lives at a future date. Technology anxiety is not a new concept. Back in 1987, Larry Rosen, Deborah Sears, and Michelle Wheel wrote a paper titled Computer Phobia in the journal Behavior Research Methods, Instruments, and Computers that looked into the then-just-called computer anxiety of university students. Now that we have more technology than just computers available for personal use, the term has evolved, but the general concept has stayed the same. I feel like most people are familiar with what anxiety is and feels like. However, I'm going to give a definition just to make sure that we all understand what type of anxiety I am talking about in this tidbit. Anxiety is intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear. Technology anxiety is when a person has intense, excessive, and persistent worry and fear about technology. This can manifest itself in different ways, but the most common ways this anxiety presents is with a raised heart rate, change in body temperature, chest pain, dizziness, difficulty concentrating, difficulty thinking and forming thoughts, and difficulty in making short-term memories. Some people will have more of the physical symptoms, and some people will have more of the cognitive symptoms. Either way, as you can guess, the effects of technology anxiety do not help people learn how to use technology, which is one of the ways people can lessen their technology anxiety. If you have ever been handed a new device or logged into a computer and not recognized what was on the screen and gotten immediately worried and afraid, you've experienced technology anxiety. Everyone has this to some degree, but if the anxiety is so large that you cannot learn new technology on your own, you should come in and take one of our classes while also speaking to your doctor. There's no reason to feel ashamed if you've experienced technology anxiety. It's extremely common, and you are probably doing better with technology than you think you are. If you experience technology anxiety when you sit down to do something with technology, take a few deep centering breaths first. Deep breathing is proven to lower your heart rate, which helps lower anxiety. Some technology topics the library has classes on in August include iPads, Apple Watches, ebooks, Android tablets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and library databases. In addition to these classes, the library also offers Tech Help Tuesdays every Tuesday from 1 to 2 in the local history room. All technology-centered questions are welcome. So if you get technology anxiety, we don't have a class that fits your specific question, or you can't make one of our classes, come in on a Tuesday and ask. We'll walk you through your questions as best we can. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a Viajero de Libros. Soy Victor, un bibliotecario aquí en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. Yo les voy a hablar sobre un libro que se titula Inmigrantes y Refugiados por Vamik D. Volkan. La sinopsis. Este libro utiliza las herramientas de la psicología y el psicoanálisis para examinar los asuntos políticos y sociales relacionados con los colectivos, tanto desde el punto de vista de los inmigrantes y los refugiados, como también el de los países receptores. La así llamada crisis de los refugiados es un fenómeno que ha propiciado tajantes divisiones en la Unión Europea y que ha generado temor y repulsa hacia todo aquello ajeno a los valores locales. Gran parte de nuestra sociedad desea tener una identidad nacional, étnicamente pura, o ser un país compuesto solamente de personas procedentes de lugares selectos. Es por ello lo que resulta de vital importancia comprender los prejuicios benignos, hostiles o maliciosos generados con respecto a los otros. Que los grandes grupos se pregunten ¿quiénes somos ahora? Se ha convertido en una cuestión clave en los asuntos mundiales. En efecto, ha provocado el resurgimiento de prácticas centenarias religiosas y culturales en un esfuerzo por estabilizar una nueva identidad, así como propiciar el miedo al otro. En este libro se proporcionan las herramientas de acción y reflexión necesarias para afrontar esta compleja y crítica situación. En mi opinión, el autor hace conciencia sobre las luchas que enfrentan los inmigrantes y refugiados cuando dejan su hogar en busca de una mejor vida en un nuevo país. El libro hace una buena investigación sobre el psicoanálisis freudiano por el que pasan los inmigrantes y refugiados, pero se olvida de darle énfasis al sufrimiento y a veces felicidad de las historias presentadas. El libro se lee más como teoría de la psicología de los inmigrantes y refugiados en sus viajes y simplifica los casos de las personas a las que se refiere. Además, me hubiese gustado ver la diferencia entre ambos, inmigrantes y refugiados, de acuerdo al psicoanálisis. De todos modos, es un buen libro para cualquiera que tenga interés en el tema de la migración del siglo XXI y quiera más información cómo este proceso afecta las personas que son inmigrantes, los refugiados y a su familia. Es todo por hoy. Hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out the English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Check out our events calendar for our upcoming events. Stay safe. We hope to talk to you again soon. But the general concept